Hello. It is Thursday, January 14th. Good show today. Let's get to it. Urban Meyer has been hired by the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have come to an agreement. Our guy, Michael Lombardi, dropped a Lombo Bombo this morning saying that you can go ahead and lock that one in. Now, all the insiders were trying to get this scoop, but now Urban Meyer will be headed down to Jacksonville. There's allegedly a couple names popping up for the GM position. They've been meeting for a month or so, I guess, so we've only heard about a couple meetings. I assume they're on that yacht more than once together. What was Urban talking to Shad Khan about? Was it about the control factor? Was it about who gets to make the roster cuts? Is it about how the operation is run? Or is it a mutual agreement on the money? Is it a money thing? Nobody will ever know. I assume that won't come out. Hopefully this works out for Duval because they have the number one overall pick. They got like $75 million in cap space. They got a new head coach. They got two pools in their stadium. Is this going to be the biggest and best times of the Jacksonville Jaguars organization's existence? They got 11 draft picks in a 2021 draft, including number one and seven in the first four rounds, north of $75 million in the 2021 cap space, and they have a guy who everybody is thinking is recruiting a lot of very well-known NFL coaches to join him down there, as he doesn't have much experience at all in the NFL. A lot of college football coaches have come into the men's league and completely failed. Some have had a lot of success. What will Urban Meyer be? Will he be able to remain healthy enough to coach Jacksonville to a Super Bowl? TBD, we shall see. Also, the Detroit Lions hired a general manager. None of us have ever fucking heard of him. How's he going to do? Nobody knows. Chris Spielman makes his first move as the advisor of the Lions. The Steelers have fired Randy Fickner. Did not extend Randy Fickner's contract, which has expired in March, or will expire in March, to be the offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Also, offensive line coach was let go. And Tom Bradley, formerly of Penn State for a long, long time, the DB's coach on the defensive side of the ball, he will be let go. Keith Butler, defensive coordinator, he's going to rework his contract to be a year-to-year contract. What will this do for the offensive side of the ball with the Steelers with Randy Fickner moving on? Will they hire from within and Ben Roethlisberger sticks around, or will a new offense come in and you can go ahead and bank on Ben Roethlisberger not coming back? Oh. High implications in Pittsburgh, but moves are being made. Speaking of moves being made, James Harden was traded yesterday to the Brooklyn Nets. Now, that move came hours after our guy, Tone Diggs, announced that this trade was going to happen. Now, when he announced it, it came from a fake troll account, Mr. Barry McCaughner.
Yep. Yes.
But maybe Barry and Tone knew something that we all didn't. And although Tone apologized in the end, he had to feel pretty redeemed. At Tone Diggs, big breaking news day for you yesterday. The COVID cowboy seems to have hopped right back in the saddle. You hung that hat up yesterday because you thought you got.
I did.
But instead, you were ahead of the times. It wasn't a Lombo bomb. It was a COVID cowboy riding to the promised land. Now, granted, they did not trade Kyrie Irving, and it was much, much, much different than what you explained. But inevitably, James Harden goes to Brooklyn. You're taking a victory lap on your horse, I'd assume.
1,000% correct. When you're in this news-breaking world, as I've been for some time now, you realize when there's smoke, there's fire. And sometimes you have to trust sources that aren't the normal sources. And Weed Killer 69 was a source that I, in fact, trusted. And even though it wasn't the standard source that people normally get their information from, I decided to run with it, and it turned out being correct.
Now, I will say, you do dive deep into the weeds for the sources. Okay? Yesterday, Ultra Weed Hater was one of your sources. Yep. And although it got a couple aspects of the trade wrong, completely wrong, still got the overall move, Harden to Brooklyn. Now, did not add in, you know, the Pacers getting involved and Cleveland getting involved and everything like that. So you missed a couple key elements, but you guys saw the foundation of what was being built in the possibilities ahead. So look, I don't think you had to apologize. I mean, you definitely did at the time, but I do like that you took a victory lap afterwards. Now, other deep dives into sources. Somebody rubbed their
hands. I was warming up my hands.
Okay, all right.
Is there smoke?
It sounded like you literally went right into
my bed.
No worries. I think you're pretty excited about this. This show, okay? This show. A lot of people, you know, this show is by far the worst sports show there is. Okay, we know that.
Oh, yeah. Show stinks.
All right? Show does stink. We don't have, you know, like block time for pre-show meetings. Okay, it's not like we sit around a table and we graph out what's going to happen. Like, that does not happen with this show. It's very different than a lot of other shows, okay? And now we're seeing other shows that are coming into our world in the way they operate. We are much different than a lot of shows. We are learning slowly. Now, I got a chance to experience some of the ESPN, obviously, whenever I got to go on Get Up with the legend Mike Greenberg, the way they operate their show. And College Game Day, I've gotten a chance to kind of see how they go. Those shows are, you know, like institutional like shows. Mm-hmm. Our show is nothing like those shows.
No.
Okay? Nothing like it.
Thank God.
I got a chance to go to WWE, do the way WWE does stuff. Our show, nothing like WWE shows. Okay? But I do believe this show, okay? I feel like we know if it's on the internet, I am on my phone all day, every day, mm-hmm. as are the boys. I feel like we have the deepest dive of Rolodex of shit that we look into to go ahead and form our thoughts and opinions because we don't want to speak out of our ass, right?
Uh-huh. Right. Yes. Yeah.
And I feel like we have a real passion for that because it's our jobs. Like, hey, now granted, Connor says some very dumb things that are nowhere near true on a very regular basis.
All sure. Yep,
but yep. he also says some things that are very, very accurate. Yeah,
quite so profound.
You know, you kind of got to count all of his hacks into his batting average, mm-hmm. but he seems to potentially have the lowest batting average, but he's going home runs. A lot of us, very focused on staying within the know. Now, granted, I don't watch a lot of, you know, like TV stuff, but if it's on the internet, I feel like I know a good bit about it. Diggs takes a lot of pride in this as well. People don't know this. Diggs comes in the morning. He has his, like, little coffee. He has his mm-hmm. computer. He's going through everything. He's a different worker than I am. He likes to write things out and everything like that. Diggs yesterday, deep dive into the Pittsburgh fucking Post-Gazette. Okay? Our hometown newspaper, so it's something he's probably read for a long time. And he reads an article that is intriguing to all of us about future moves for the Steelers, because we talk about the Steelers on the show. By the way, Steelers were one of the big storylines, and we got numerous people from Pittsburgh on, in the studio, obviously. We have friends in the Steelers organization, both mm-hmm. in all aspects of that. So we talk about Steelers a little bit. So that was an article that Diggs felt needed to be read.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
For us to do our job.
Absolutely.
Diggs then sends that article into the group. Mm-hmm. We see the quote. We all read it. And we're like, okay, here we go. Jerry fucking Dulac.
Yep.
Okay, a guy in Pittsburgh who works for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Mm-hmm. He wrote an incredible article. Okay. And he said that sources have told him that Juju is looking to go to a bigger market. Okay, that is what his sources said. So we said yesterday, we had to cover it. Like, hey, Juju is a free agent. That's Juju right. is one of the, there's Jerry Dulac, by the way. Shout out to Jerry coming back. Yeah, there, that's Jerry Dulac right there. Or, sorry, that's Jerry Dulac right there. With that guy. And listen, Jerry, I don't know much about him, okay? I didn't read newspapers growing up. I do know Ed Bouchette's a legend there next to him, okay? Ed Bouchette. But Jerry Dulac wrote this article. So whenever it comes up in conversation about Juju's future, we go, oh, we are well-researched. Okay, fun fact about Juju's future, it is being alleged per sources,
yes. mm-hmm.
of sources, that Juju's looking to build his brand. Juju. I don't know if he, I think he did listen to the entire video and he said this is 100% wrong. And I think he put it out there to kind of let everybody know that that was wrong. But the Juju Bees,
Bees were swarming.
Okay, who I respect. All right, you got that loyal of a fan base. You can do TikToks on, like, he does good business off the field. His fan base is an awesome one. They start coming after me for making up fake news. Hey, stupid, dumb, young motherfuckers. Okay. I didn't make that. We said allegedly in there as well, by the way, which kind of gets us off the hook of everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's literally in the first.
With all due respect.
But we were just reporting what we know because that's what we do. We're deep reporters. So all the people that started coming after me, they're like, oh, I got a lot of tweets comparing me to people that I like legitimately just lie whenever they get on television. I'm like, no, complete opposite, pal. Actually, well-researched, know this.
Yeah.
Listen to what we say before we get. So we would like to clear this up. Jerry fucking Dulac. Uh-huh. said Juju from his sources that he heard. Jerry Dulac said that Juju's looking to move to a bigger market, okay? And maybe whenever we tweeted it out, we should have expected people not to potentially listen to the entire thing. But the word allegedly sitting right there. We got Bleacher Report tweeting that I said that Juju wants to go to a bigger market. Hey, Bleacher Report, that's not me, okay?
No.
Actually, in the video, if you say, we read, sources say, And now we're getting just buried. Now we're just getting buried. Bleacher. Oh, shut the fuck up. A lot of those tweets coming out from my account to other people this morning.
Bleacher Report, huge on putting like 6 to 8 emojis after tweets. So probably big Juju Bees. I assume they're a big Juju Bee group. But yeah, I mean, you get that nest a humming. Don't worry, they're not going to sting. I mean, they're just going to fly around and make a lot of noise. They're not going to sting or do anything that'll hurt you.
Now, granted, you did go after.
You did. Yeah.
Now, what I'm saying is, stop coming after me. Now, if you watch that video and you decide to go after the COVID cowboy for what he said, that's his bet. That is the COVID cowboy saddle that he put right onto the horse. You do what you got to do. But Bleacher Report saying that I created that. It's like, no, that is not true at all. How about you guys do a little bit of fucking research?
Yeah.
Okay? Because that's what we do around here. Because our listeners and watchers deserve it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how about Jerry Dulac just sitting back and letting everyone take shrapnel, just grinning from his ivory tower?
Can't blame him, by the way.
Once he saw what was going on, you can't blame him.
If Jerry just sees us eating it over here, he's like, well, I'm actually going to retract mine.
He's wearing his beehive suit.
I'm going to get out of here. The honey thing.
Yeah, listen, this is a live daily show. We're going to talk about things that are reported.
Yes.
People are like, well, why didn't you follow up on the report and check with your source? I mean,
we don't fucking have sources, bro. What do you think this is?
That's not our source. That's not our job.
Our source is the people who have the source.
Yeah. Correct.
And that's what. And I would like a little bit more respect for the amount of time that I put on my phone every single day, okay? It's not like I'm just popping things up. I dedicate a lot of fucking hours on my phone. Now, my wife doesn't love it, okay? Nope. My dog Valerie doesn't love it. She'll come up with a goddamn paw and hit it out of there. But I'd like to know what's going on just to have a little bit of a feel, a grasp of what's going on. So whenever you see somebody who's in the Pittsburgh Post Gazette who writes that their sources are saying this, it's like, okay, here we go. Like, that seems like that's something. And by the way, would make sense if that was the case on all sides. And I think that's potentially why the source might have said it to Jerry, because Jerry's like, of course, that's what he's looking to do. And then it kind of go. So I'm not saying Jerry is lying either. I think Jerry did get that information. Yeah. But you can't. I'm tired of being fucking buried for me knowing what's going on and people saying,
didn't we do the right thing?
I should be getting complimented.
Yeah, you really shoot the messenger here.
Oh, yeah.
I would like compliments from everybody. Yeah. Juju Bees.
Now, they set out to make you the fall guy.
Yeah, like, I'm the guy. I didn't make it up. And then Bleacher Report fucking puts it. Like, hey, Bleacher Report.
That was pretty delicious.
Guys, fucking take a hike, pal.
Yeah. Didn't you do the right thing, though? You tagged Juju in there.
Yeah, we tagged his Juju
story,
in it.
And he told his story.
Yeah.
He went right to the source.
That's what I'm saying. I think Bleacher Report should have maybe said, hero Pat McAfee brings to light a potential wrong narrative about Juju. Juju's response was, this is 100% not true. But instead, it was complete opposite. They had a picture of me at the XFL when I was 270. with a bad look, like a bad look on my face.
That was a horrible photo.
Side profile.
These motherfuckers.
Well, if you're going to bury somebody, you fucking just go all out. Yeah. That's what Bleacher Report does.
Oh, they fucking did, yeah, for sure. Fat Pat.
Go after Jared Ducklock, not fucking you.
I mean, Juju's been on the show, too.
Yeah, it's, well, I don't know if he'll ever come back on the show after what fucking things has said numerous times, but for the good of the show, I don't tell anybody their thoughts, what they're allowed to say, what they're not allowed to say. I will often follow up with the opinions of COVID Cowboy do not reflect that of his employer or his peers. Do you know that? Because I feel like, but you have to have a show with differing opinions. Like, you have to have it. And I did not like the way that was operating last night. I was just like, yo, fuck you. Hey. Fuck all of you, actually. I should be getting like, hey, Pat, thanks for you and the boys for doing the deep dive into a paper that probably doesn't get read that much by somebody that is doing something and bringing this to light so Juju can clear his name. That's what I thought should have happened. But instead, it was the complete opposite. I was being called Skip Bayless.
Skip.
Yeah, so I'm watching the NHL season end last night, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm watching the NHL season end. By the way, rest in peace to the NHL 2021
good
season.
Good season. What are you doing?
Pens fucking stink, dude. What are they doing? They got the worst penalty kill in the history of hockey.
Yeah.
What are they doing out there? And then the goalie, what's his name?
Tristan Jarry.
That guy? All right. He left 17 goals in 3 minutes, that guy. He was just rolling around on the ice at one point. Like, yo, get up, dude. Get up!
so dramatic. It's the first game. It's a long season.
Get up, I said. then I got trolled by fucking Gritty. Okay? Yeah. Oh, Gritty comes after me. Shit.
That googly-eyed stooge.
I would like to let it know that I did start that. Okay? Because when we were up 1-0, I went straight for the fucking jug. How you doing, Gritty?
Yeah. You should.
You know, so I had to eat this one.
Yeah. Didn't he punch a kid?
That was the old Gritty. I guess. Same costume, different. But anyway, so Gritty tweet, and I just have to eat this because I did start this, yep. And a lot of Philadelphia Johns were coming after me on the internet.
Sure.
And I just had to eat that because of how loud I was, okay, yesterday about the Pens. And the fact that, by the way, I went 2-1 on the betting. So,
pretty good.
Not bad.
Over hit. Easy. Lock. Knew that was going to happen. Sid scored plus 210. Knew that was going to happen. The only thing that didn't happen was the Pens money line, which should have happened. And since it didn't, I think we all agree that the NHL season is probably dead at this point.
Yeah. Good year.
But I was getting just attacked by mascots, Johns, everybody. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, one tweet squeaks in there where they're like, oh, you think you're the new Skip Bayless making up stories about Juju? And I almost fucking, I put the phone down.
Oh, you did?
Put the Oculus on.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran through an entire class. Just one run. No, tried to knock out every single person in under a minute. Got him in under 50 seconds. And then went to bed.
Hell yeah.
That was so rude. I'm like, yo, I put in a lot of work for this. I'm on my phone a lot. We're not just making shit up. No. Now, if we say people are saying, that's normally not a factual thing. It is just an opinion. There is a chance that that is being pawned off on somebody. That does not exist. Mm-hmm. But we don't know them, but we assume somebody potentially thinks that.
Of course. Right. Also, who's to say that, you know, Jerry Dulac's not right? I mean, is this all correct if Juju ends up going to the Jets or something? I mean, who's to say he's not going to leave town?
Yeah, there was a lot of tweets that weren't allowed to have replies on Juju's Twitter account.
Interesting.
Ooh.
This one did have the reply.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We should have buried Jerry whenever we initially reported.
Should have.
Yeah.
We'll learn.
Hindsight 2020.
But we will always put in work. I would like people to know that. Just like everybody assumes I was a very loud NFL guy. Like from the, no, I didn't start talking until I knew I was good. You know, that's like with this show. I'm not going to be talking the way I talk unless I know kind of what I'm fucking talking about. You're not going to see me just go out there and talk about something I don't know about. Hockey, it's in my blood. I know everything about it.
That's right.
Yesterday, went on an entire rant. That was beautiful. Should have happened. Instead, we got a fucking goalie that's rolling around on the goddamn ice like he's fucking, who's the fat one from Mighty Ducks?
Goldberg.
Yeah, like whenever he first got put in the ice.
Yeah.
The first trip down there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We need the cat to get back in.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You also should have known when you went on that run that they were destined to lose.
Yeah. I have been quite a mush for the Pittsburgh Penguins over the years.
That's not your fault.
Mm-mm. It is, yeah. was that a playoff game we went to when we sat?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
We went to a playoff game where we sat on the ice, basically. Ooh. SeatGeek, rest in peace. Rest in peace, SeatGeek. Hell of a run.
Good run.
Thank you, SeatGeek.
Good season.
Thank you, SeatGeek.
Thank you, SeatGeek.
What a run they had, dude.
Yeah.
It was the best.
All-time, huh?
Yeah. It was the greatest ticket-buying platform the world has ever seen.
And the moon.
And then all of a sudden, and then all of a sudden, tickets were no longer needed for anything.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Their business is just over there in a deep end fucking.
You know, they should invest in Oculus and just get seats in every single stadium.
Well, the Oculus Arena is going to be one that needs to get filled.
So uh-huh.
It's getting real. But we went to a playoff game, shout out to SeatGeek, and we were sitting like on the extended bench of the visitors team. So me and Nick were literally right on the ice. Like, it felt like we were in the game, basically. And I was like, I was pumped for Nick. Obviously, Nick lives and dies with the Pens, but it was a really cool experience to be there. We're sitting there doing this thing, and the ref skates by, and I got a little crack in the glass behind me. I'm like, hey, ref! Right, and I give him a little something like that. And then I show him some money or whatever. I'm like, let's get this win, you know what I mean? He eyeballs me, stares me down. I was it 15 seconds later, maybe 20 seconds later, I'm not even sure. Calls a penalty against the Penguins.
Soft call, too. But real soft.
Like, calls a penalty against the Penguins. Looks at me while I'm making the call. Then they fucking score 15 seconds into the power play.
Jeez.
And then just kind of just skated off. And Nick was like, we got to get you out of this building. We got to get you out of here. I went to another game. The other team scored 7 goals in the first period.
Jesus.
A 7-0 first period, second period. Yeah, I'm not great whenever I'm really loud for the Pens. But, hey, I'm a fucking fan.
Yeah. Right?
And if Sidney Crosby's going to keep scoring goals the way he's scoring goals, maybe they'll have a chance. But I can't believe they lost to the worst fucking team in the NHL last night, the Philadelphia Flyers.
I mean, I try to tell you the Flyers are actually a pretty good team. I hate them, but they're good.
They did look pretty good. They're flying around.
That
Flyers team appeared to have a different gear than the Pens did, but that doesn't matter. They still stink. All right, we got to get to a break. Ty Schmidt, Boston Connor. Zito's here with a poll. Zito, we need a big poll today. Can you please tell the people what your poll is of the day?
Oh, yeah. Massive poll today. Which divisional round game this weekend will be the closest? Right now, last place, Rams versus Packers, 8%. Browns versus Chiefs, 10.4%. Buccaneers versus Saints, 35.2%. And Ravens versus Bills, 46.4%.
Wow. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's an interesting little question, because whenever you start looking, I immediately thought Bills Ravens, but then I was like, wait, Browns Chiefs still, because the Chiefs have played a lot of close games this year, and the Browns are rolling right now. Then you think about the Buccaneers and Saints, it's like they know a lot about each other.
Yeah.
And then whenever you look at the Packers Rams, you're like, okay, Packers probably win by 40 there.
Slaughter. Hopefully.
That's pretty much what I did about the Pens.
I know, exactly. And the more you say it, the more I'm getting worried about it, because it seems like everybody thinks the Packers are going to win by
it. Shoes on the other foot now.
Still fading the poll or what?
The Packers don't stink, though. The Steelers do.
No, because the poll got one. They went 1-2, right, last time? The poll was an over and a team pick or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The closest game is interesting because I think we're all betting. I would like to see the number on the Browns. Because that's 10.5 points, I think. Browns are getting 10 or 10.5 against the Chiefs. That's a lot of points for a playoff game, especially for this Chiefs team that has not played, like, blowout football. Yeah. That is not the style of play that they have been playing. What's that, Diggs?
For that 10.5 line, 54% of the bets and 50% of the money. The money split 50-50 on Chiefs and Browns.
Really?
Man. Wow.
That makes me feel a lot better also on the Browns plus 10.
There's a lot of – every single game this weekend is in the 50s as far as money is concerned. A lot of split bets this weekend.
All right, let's – this ain't working. This thing's just
– how's that guy that called in and hacked it?
That's a juju bee.
Oh, no.
Once again, go to Jerry Dulac's computer.
Uh-huh. Got some honey in the
Please
key.
Stay out of my computer, dude. All I'm doing is just telling you what we're seeing. That's our job. Observe, report.
Yes.
Joining us now is a man who basically broke every single rookie record that you could possibly break at the position that you play. He was drafted out of LSU. There's actually a video of the team that drafted him seeing another team right before them draft another wide receiver and them laughing in that team's face because they knew that they got it wrong by not drafting this man. Wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, all-pro, pro bowler in one season. He's only going to get better somehow. Ladies and gentlemen, Justin Jefferson.
Yeah!
What's up, dude?
It was good.
How was the season, man? Long season? Was your body ready for it? Was it longer than you thought? How do you feel right now?
It definitely was longer than I thought. Those 17 weeks definitely catch up to you. But, a lot of guys in the locker room had told me different ways to really, relax my body and make sure my body is right for every week.
Okay, so now that you're about to have off time for the first time in your life, people forget about this. Whenever you're a rookie in the NFL and your season ends, first of all, that's the longest season because you're going from your junior or senior year in college straight through for combine prep, right into draft, right into OTAs, right into training camp, right into the longest season you've ever had in your life. So that's the longest year of all time. Then as soon as your rookie season's over, it's the first time in your entire life, basically, that your life hasn't been scripted for you for the first couple months. Now, granted, the world is not what it normally is. What are you thinking about doing here, Justin? How are you going to enjoy your downtime? You're going to be playing video games? You're going to be going out? You're going to be grittying all over the world? You're going to take some trips? Oh, what are you going to do, Justin?
All of the above. I'm going to be in some sunshine, just relaxing. Just like you said, this is the first time really I really get to relax my body and really enjoy life for a little bit. So, definitely looking forward to really, getting some off time and getting some vacation.
Justin, why'd you have so much success this year? And not just you, by the way. You obviously were the standout in the wide receivers, but rookie wide receivers this year had a hell of a year. Now, there's a whole new class coming into the NFL, including Devontae and Ja'Marr Chase, which you know very well. And do you think that's going to be a trend moving forward? Do you think that you were more prepared for the NFL with the way college football is now than maybe in years past?
I mean, just me just coming from Joe Brady's offense, bringing that Saints pro style offense, it kind of gave me a head start to the league. You know, just going in to the league and knowing the concepts, it kind of was a little bit easier to really, you know, grasp. So I definitely feel like those guys are definitely going to come in and make a big mark, depending on what team they get drafted to. So hopefully they get drafted to a good organization that uses them right.
And let's talk about that. You told Kirk Cousins to go fuck himself.
That was wild.
Did you hear him say that?
Yeah,
you said that.
Yeah.
You said it right in the middle of a game. Yeah. Right in the middle of a game.
Fuck you, Kirk.
You didn't get a ball, and you stood there, and you grabbed a microphone. Do you remember?
Yeah, it was wild.
You grabbed a microphone. You were like, Kirk Cousins, I hate you, basically. Go fuck yourself. Do you remember when you did that?
I don't remember that one.
No, I loved that whole situation, though, how it blew up, right? Because my initial take on it was, oh, I feel like Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins have a very good relationship, as opposed to what people thought the other way. I thought, like, no, this happens on much regular basis than people think. There's normally crowd noise. We got a chance. It sounded like one of them satellite things was literally right into your helmet whenever you said it. But how was your relationship with Kirk Cousins? And do you think that is a big reason, obviously, on why you had so much success this year?
Our relationship was very good. You know, at practice and stuff, we definitely connect well. You know, just trying to win games, trying to make big plays. So, you know, at practice, we're getting extra reps in. We're doing things to help the offense up. So, you know, that just really was just a frustration play. You know, I felt like open on that play, and you know, I didn't get the ball. So, kind of just like a frustration one, just, you know, just pouring out my emotions. But just like you said, there's no crowd noise, so you hear everything on the field.
Hey, I will say this. You being emotional, you know, everybody talks about how you want your players to be passionate, okay? You want people on your team to have emotion, not just play for the check, but also play for everything like that. And then as soon as you do that, you hear a lot of the old whites go, did you hear what he said?
Whoa.
To Kirk Cousins? It's like, yo, you can't have it both ways here, okay? You can't have people that are invested and emotional, and then whenever you see moments in the height of competition, by the way, at the highest level, where there's some sort of conversation, that's a very interesting thing. We enjoyed it a lot over here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we loved it. We ran it probably 20 times in the morning because the flexing, too. Uh-huh. There was like no way where anybody could say it wasn't you. It was like an entire – it was awesome. Diggs, what do you got?
Justin, after you broke all of his rookie records, did Randy Moss call you? Do you guys have a relationship? Does he talk to you at all about – since you guys were, you know, within the same organization, had great success as rookies?
We made this little – we did this video or like this Zoom call of all the receivers from the Vikings – organization to get the Rookie of the Year award. So I kind of talked to all of those guys at the same time, you know, just giving me the inside of, you know, how to take on my NFL season and the things that I have been doing all year. So, you know, hopefully I can get this Rookie of the Year.
Hey, we hope you get Rookie of the Year as well, because the year that you had is one that's probably – I mean, it's going to be tough. Whenever you're talking about being in the conversation with Randy, I mean, that's just – that's going to – it's once every generation probably.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like a – I assume that's a high compliment. I know there's some players that kind of don't enjoy being compared to past players or past greats. I would assume, even though you and Randy don't have the same style of play, whenever you're in the same conversation as guys like that, especially in the Vikings, you have to feel pretty good about that, right?
Oh, 100%. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. He's classified as one of the best receivers ever to play the game. So to be in the same sentence as him, being compared to him, you know, of course, I don't mind that at all. You know, my goal is to be a Hall of Famer one day and be one of the best receivers of all time. So and definitely not scared of that comparison. So there's definitely more work that I need to do and things that I need to fix to become you know, a Hall of Famer.
Will you train with anybody this offseason? Will you train with, like, because there's always, you know, the internet shows, like, groups of guys that are working out, you know? And back in the day, I think it maybe wasn't as known by people that people from different teams train together. I mean, there's stories coming out about Peyton and Tom Brady in the offseason getting together and training together that I think if it would have came out at the time, people would have lost their minds about, but we kind of hear about it now. Now we kind of get a chance to see it, whether it's the offensive line that gets put together, a defensive ends have a group together. It feels like everybody's kind of trying to help each other out. Will you train with anybody this offseason, or you do your work alone?
100%. Yeah. You train with the best. The best train with the best. So, of course, I want to train with the top guys of the league. You know, I talk to Davante Adams, talk to Stephon Diggs, so, Odell. So, talking to those different guys, definitely wanting to train with them to see all the information that they can give to me to help my game out.
What will you do in those? Will you guys run routes? Will there be, like, what did they give you different drills to do? Like, what would those training sessions look like for a wide receiver?
Really just giving me information that to help anything that I have a problem with, you know, if it's releases, if it's running different routes, if it's, you know, how to get open during this coverage or how the cornerback is playing you. So there's definitely different ways to help my game and to improve. And, guys like Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams, and, you know, those different guys definitely have some tricks up their sleeve.
You had the most receiving yards by a rookie in the Super Bowl era, okay? That's a hilarious stat to have. I would have that as my Twitter bio immediately if I had. But what did you do self-scout, I assume, at the end of the year already? Have you done that type of thing yet and be like, okay, this is something that I feel like I got to work out? Or was that happening during the year? Were you taking notes during the year? Like, when do you realize, like, okay, I want to get better at whether it's my breaks to the right side? When do you decide what you think you have to get better at?
I kind of look at it, throughout the season. And, especially you can definitely look at it after the season when you stop playing. But, throughout the season, just different things that I felt that I needed to work on. Definitely having to work on that press man coverage, just working on different releases. Especially, this upcoming season, we have a lot of top corners that we're going against. So I definitely have to, reach in my bag and find those new tricks to get open.
I was always a hand guy. Ooh,
see ya.
You know what I mean? I was always, Devonta uses gone. No hands.
Yeah. No.
But I was always I'm a ninja. I'm a ninja, chop you down. Uh-huh. That was always my move. If you need me to come down, do anything, you let me know. I'll kind of give you some of the insides. What do you got, Connor?
Justin, you mentioned Davante and Diggs as guys you'll train with. Will you watch the games this weekend to just see how they go up against their matchups?
Oh, 100%. I'm definitely looking forward to that Green Bay and Rams game with Davante Adams and Jalen Ramsey. So definitely going to be looking at that to see how that matchup goes. I'm a big Davante Adams fan, so definitely going to be rooting for him and see how good he does.
What have you noticed about the difference between the NFL corners and college corners? Because obviously the SEC, it's different down here. You play against a lot of NFL talent down there. But once you get in the NFL, there's NFL IQ, there's NFL defenses, yeah, and everything. What is the difference between NFL corners? Like, for instance, Jalen, whenever you watch him play, it looks like he's floating sometimes whenever he's making a play. And there's not a lot of Jalens out there in any level or anything like that. But what has been the biggest difference? Is it the overall athleticism? Is it the schemes? What has it been, you think, the difference between NFL and college DBs?
Being LSU, being a big program, we don't play, top teams every single week. So having to play a top corner or a top team every single week in the NFL, it definitely gets tough. It gets, a toll on your body. You get tired. So and two, they're smarter. They're definitely patient. They're looking at their techniques. They're studying a whole bunch of film on you. So those moves that you did last week definitely are not going to be able to work going up against that corner the next week. So you definitely gotta change some stuff up and change the way you move.
Your routes were so sick this year. Hey, your routes were nasty this year. They were running them as highlights. They were running fucking routes as highlights. Yeah. They were like, look at this. And it was just you in the middle of the open field. Yeah. And then the guy just leaving or whatever. Normally it'd be a big catch or whatever. Like, look at this man run on a football field. It was absolutely – has that been like – when did you realize that was going to have to be one of the main focuses? Because I feel like whenever they say somebody's a great route runner – nobody really understands what that means. Like, oh, no, they put in a lot of work to be able to cut very quickly. Like, have you always been a great route runner? Is that always something you've been able to take advantage of defenses with? Like, how did that become your thing? Because it's like your thing is how you shake the shit out of people at the top of your routes.
Well, I mean, of course not. Me, I started playing receiver, you know, in high school. So I didn't really get, you know, that much experience at receiver. So me going into LSU, I have my favorite coach, Coach Jerry Sullivan. He coaches for the Cardinals now. You know, he came in, I came in, and he helped me tremendously with different ways to get open with releases, ways to break down and get quicker on my breaks. So he definitely helped me and made me into a better route runner and better receiver.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. Did you play basketball growing up as well?
Yes, yes.
Were you good? You couldn't shoot, huh?
Shoot the lights out, man.
I didn't know. I was just normally, because if you could just shake everybody, you know, you get a bit greedy. You're just going to the rack every time. For those of us that can't just wiggle our way through every LA Fitness pickup game, you have to be able to have range. Oh, you know what I mean? I have to be able to pop off from way back. Ty, what do you got?
Justin, after everything you've seen this year, who's gritty is worse, Kirk Cousins or Adam Thielen?
Yeah, great question.
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with Kirk. Oh. I'm going to have to. But, I mean, Kirk, that was the first time I ever seen Kirk do it the whole season. So, you know, at least I got to picture how he does it, how he do it, so I can work with him a little bit.
Kirk probably worked on it at the house, huh?
Oh yeah,
from the mirror.
Wait until I bust this out. It's like
kids doing it with him.
It's like a pair of shoes, you know, like wait until they see this. And that's what Kirk did at the house. How you guys feel? How you feeling, Vikings? Final meeting. What was the message?
You know, of course, we didn't want to go 1-5 at the beginning of the season. I mean, that hurt us tremendously with, you know, not being able to get to the playoffs and everything. But that second part of the season, you know, that's when we really became alive. That's when we really started to play Vikings football. And, you know, that's when we really started to buy into what was going on. You know, we wasn't used to not having any fans in the stadium. You know, the energy was dead. Huh. So it definitely was a different feel. But we just really just got to that winning stage a little too late.
Well, it was fun to watch you guys down the stretch there. Thought you were potentially going to make a backdoor entrance into the playoffs. Hope you enjoy the hell out of your offseason, Justin. You deserve it. Can't wait to see what you do and how you come back even better, bub.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Hey, let me know if you need anything, you know?
Ooh, got you. I'm gonna need some moves, man.
Okay, I got you. Ladies and gentlemen, Justin Jefferson. Hold on, Justin. What's that?
Chad Johnson just tweeted that he heard you'll be at House of Athlete, which is Brandon Marshall's training facility. And he said he will personally lock you up on one-on-ones.
Ocho, gonna lock you down. By the way, talk about good route runner. Ocho said he's gonna lock you down.
And give you a PowerPoint tutorial.
He's reading a tweet right now. I heard he will be at House of Athlete at Brandon Marshall's facility training this offseason in Weston. I will personally lock him up in one-on-ones and give a PowerPoint tutorial on route running, says Chad Johnson to Justin Jefferson.
I got something for him.
Ladies and gentlemen, Justin Jefferson. Wow, that's awesome. I thought you had breaking news. I didn't know. Well, it kind of was.
Yeah, it kind of was.
Ocho was always known as the guy who his feet were just so damn impressive. What's that? We have breaking news?
Was it the real Chad Johnson?
Getting off a plane in Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, Urban Meyer? Yeah.
Wow.
He's getting the gig, huh? He's flying on a – let's start judging the plane. That is a Citation, it looks like. It looks like it's a little thin. I would prefer a Hawker, which is a little bit of a fatter plane. It's more like an SUV flying through the sky. The Citation is a little bit quicker. For those that don't know, a Citation – and by the way, I'm not 100% certain that is a Citation plane. I'm just if it is a Citation plane, it was the original, like, Wall Street plane. Ooh. Like, that was, like, the old school Wall Street plane. You know, like, got money. Let's go ahead and travel. Probably a lot of cocaine and other things that have been done on Citation planes. So I am a Hawker fan myself, unless it's the Citation 10, the Citation X, which is the fastest plane in the sky. It flies, how fast was it? 750 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Oh, it's moving.
It takes an hour off of your flights if you need them. But if anything goes wrong, it is over.
Now, immediate.
That's basically with every plane. So yeah. I respect that they flew the plane up to get old Urban. He's landed in Duval County. Some info on what Urban Meyer is getting with the Jaguars. Most cap space in the league, 11 draft picks, first overall pick, talent on roster includes. Yeah, I got that. Big congrats, Urban Meyer, getting a head coaching gig.
Yeah,
wow.
I think he has always wondered if it would work in the NFL. I talked to yesterday. We talked to Rich Rod, by the way, which that was a fun time. It was a very fun time. But I think Rich Rod, when I talked to him, whenever he played when Ole Miss played Mississippi State, and I got the chance to talk to him for the first time, I asked him about coaching in the NFL. You know, because his offense is now in the NFL.
Oh yeah,
and he said he basically told me he never had a vision to do it, but he always wondered if he would be able to work up there, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think Rich Rod would ever want to go up there, but he did have that answer. He was like, I always thought to myself, I wonder how many times Urban Meyer has thought to himself, like, I could probably go do the NFL if I had to. I wonder if he sees that Saban's the greatest college football coach of all time. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you know what Saban couldn't do? He couldn't coach in the NFL. Let's go ahead and do that. Or if this is just to, you know, one final thing off the bucket list to do is go have a successful NFL run as a coach. We'll see. Hopefully he'll be able to stay healthy enough. Okay. Mm-hmm. Last two stops have ended in health situations. Yeah. A lot of success. I guess Utah, he had success. Florida, he had success. Ohio State, he had success. Those are a very different sport than the NFL. We'll see how it goes down there in Duval County. Good for Jacksonville, though. They make a splash hire. Mm-hmm. Seems like that's what Shad Khan wanted. Now, granted, splash hires don't mean a goddamn thing if they don't work out. It's just a good headline. You win a day in the offseason. Will he be able to win some games? We shall see. He's going to surround himself with NFL coaches, he said.
Ooh.
Well, the report said. Who knows if he said that or if the Jacksonville Jaguar people said, hey, also we need this to get out there. Anybody that's attacking us for hiring a guy that doesn't know anything about the NFL, let's go ahead and get this out here as well. We're going to hire very, very super NFL knowledgeable coaches, basically was a report. A lot of NFL big brains coming in here with Urban Meyer as well. It's like, well, we'll see. I can't wait to see how it goes. What are you going to say, Diggs?
I was going to say something dumb, like maybe he'll bring Alex Smith in as a backup to tutor Trevor Lawrence since they were together at Utah.
The interesting thing there is, what if Fields, Ohio State guy, right? He's up there, what, the second quarterback in most mock drafts? Mm-hmm. Is Trevor Lawrence a lock to go to Jacksonville? And by the way, we told you just 1 week ago that when this hire happens, this will be the exact conversation that will happen on sports shows everywhere. Is Urban Meyer in his Ohio State allegiances? So much so that when he's on the sideline of Ohio State games, he looks like he's still coaching Ohio State in Ohio State's games. Whenever he's doing the halftime show or the pregame show for Ohio State, he is talking as if he is still the Ohio State coach. He is loved in Ohio. Absolutely loved over there.
Before the season started, he did say he would take Lawrence over Fields this year.
We'll see.
Okay. We'll see.
Well, who does Shad Khan?
Well, Ohio State bury him if he doesn't take Fields at number one or whatever. No. But also, yeah, what you're about to say, Shad Khan said he's calling shots around here.
Yeah, so who does he want? That's what we need to find out.
How many trips on that yacht do you think Urban Meyer had to – which trip onto the yacht? Because they said they've been meeting for a month now at this point. Yeah. Which trip do you think Urban Meyer was finally like, all right, fuck it, you can make the decisions? You know, because I assume the first couple conversations were like Shad Khan being like, I'd like to still have my hands on things, and Urban Meyer going, yeah, all right, and leaving. Then coming back, hey, this is what we're thinking, money-wise, but in the control – because everybody assumes that that's what is going to ultimately be the issue. Is Urban Meyer in college, you control every single moment of your players' lives. Whenever you don't have that control, is it still going to be able to work? We'll see how it goes. A.J. Hawk, who knows Urban pretty well, said he thinks Urban's going to do well up there. Mm. Say he's a good communicator, good leader. We'll see. He's not going to be the offensive guy or the defensive guy. He is just the head coach who's a rallier, which is what you need, by the way.
Yeah.
I think not always, but I feel like that has been a pretty good system in the NFL's history.
Yeah, and to your point, I believe I saw one of the tweets this morning that, like, after the first meeting and stuff like that, those meetings were about facility upgrades and stuff like that that Urban wanted before he took the job.
By the way, love that. All these other coaches are taking these Zoom calls, hoping and praying for a goddamn gig. Urban, since he had success in college, he's able to go down to Shad Khan's yacht and go, that practice facility ain't going to fucking cut it.
Nope.
Are we the Bengals, dude? Put a roof on that thing.
Bigger pool.
Need to connect those pools.
Yeah, please.
Please.
Immediately.
The cabanas, too? Family's going to need two of those.
Uh-huh.
All right? And then I would like, I don't know, 50 to 60,000 more people in the stadium. Go ahead and build on top of that.
Add an upper bowl.
Shad Khan's like, I guess, man. All right. Let's Jesus. Do it. I mean, we could have hired goddamn Joe Brady. He was just begging for a gig. God damn it. But we'll do it, I guess. Let's go. I feel like Urban Meyer, I feel like he has successful operations.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of question marks around every single one. Every single exit, there's a lot of question marks. People are like, what happened here? But I feel like he always has. I think, I mean, he's going to do okay.
He's won everywhere he's went.
He's literally won everywhere. But will the NFL
– college.
Whenever you can pick your players. Mm-hmm. That's a very – whenever you can be a good salesman and get a family to allow their son to come to your school for whatever reason, however you're doing it, better than everybody else. That is a real weapon in college football that not everybody has. In the NFL, you can't do it. So I don't know how – maybe it'll be big free agency build team. Okay, we want this guy. We want this guy. We want this guy. I assume that is potentially going to happen. Maybe that's another conversation he had was having with Sean. Like, hey, we're going to have to spend money in free agency. Or maybe Urban Meyer will adapt his entire ability, use his big football brain, and be able to direct it in the NFL style and have success. I'm intrigued to see how it plays out.
This doesn't move the needle at all for, like, guys potentially going to Jacksonville, like players, does it?
I mean, Ohio State guys.
Yeah.
Well, outside of Ohio State guys.
Look for Ezekiel Elliott to get traded for the Cowboys.
Michael Thomas
getting out of Saints. We know he doesn't like. He hates everything going on over there, allegedly.
Why draft Trevor Lawrence when you get Dewey Haskins down there?
Oh, man. Right. Bring in Dwayne.
Bosa.
Bosa's.
Both of them.
Both of Bosa's.
Uh-huh. Bring them in.
I mean, so sorry to interrupt, dude. Like, so, so sorry.
Apologies.
The conversation was going there.
It really was.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And here we go, interrupting it like this.
Got to pay the bills.
What we're interrupting it with is something that matters, though.
Oh, yeah.
Are you the best version of you that you could possibly be, you think?
Definitely not.
Does your skin, hair, anything else really that revolves around men's health, is it at its highest that it could possibly be?
I mean, it could probably be better.
And that's the thing about it is there's a company out there that's a men's health brand that is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they are unbelievable. And that is Roman. Roman is a men's health brand that makes you and wants you to be the best version of you possible. Your hair fuller, your skin brighter, anything else you have going on, they want to take care of you. And they want to do it in a fashion that is most affordable. But it's not just skin, it's not just hair, it's not just everything like that. It's also whenever you go in and you go to do the lovemaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The men's health brand wants to be your tag team partner and being the best you in all facets of your life. And did you know that if you are somebody who doesn't have sex for as long as you would like, and we're not saying you go quick, hey, maybe you just don't go as long as you want to go.
Yeah.
Maybe your sex life, you want it to go long, long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put on a show in there. You need to tag team partner with our friends at Roman with the Roman Swipes.
I love Roman Swipes.
These things show up at your door in discreet packaging. Nobody knows that you have a tag team partner that's small enough to fit in your back pocket, small enough to fit in your wallet. Nobody will even know that you have it. Then whenever it's time to, you know, do the deed.
Mm-hmm.
When it's time to
sling some salami.
That's right. That's right.
You know?
Whenever you're out there with your bologna about to really make a sandwich and it's time to go, why don't you do it for a long, long time, Ty? You pull out the Roman Swipe, okay? You rub it on your tool, your baby maker, your magic stick, your dipstick, your how's it going, how you doing, keep it moving, pleasure town, here we come stick, okay? You rub it on there, it'll dry quickly. It'll not transfer to your partner, and it is scientifically proven to make you last longer in bed.
Bologna sandwich, extra mayo.
Long time making it. We can't thank Roman enough. And right now you can get free 2-day shipping on your Roman Swipes. Get them in time for Thanksgiving next weekend. Get them in time for the holiday season. Stock up on these things for the winter because I do believe we're getting locked back down.
Looks like it.
In a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what time it is? Why not just have a little bit of a sex fest?
Might as well.
Go to GetRoman.com/Pat. Free 2-day shipping on these Roman swipes. You will love them, and so will she or he. Have the time of your life behind the closed doors with our friends at Roman Swipes, and also make yourself the best you possible with everything else that the Men's Health brand has for you. GetRoman.com/Pat. Back to the show. We're being joined now by a guy who is potentially going to be coaching at some point. Oh. Hour three kicks off with Mr. A.J. Hawk.
Whoa!
A.J. Coach Hawk. Urban Meyer gets a job done in Jacksonville. His first call is to his favorite Buckeye hero, A.J. Hawk, and he says, come coach linebackers, come do something with our staff, because it is being reported that Urban Meyer would like to surround himself with people who know a lot about the NFL. I don't know anybody that knows more than A.J. Hawk. Nope. Will you be working for the Jacksonville Jaguars, A.J. Hawk?
I don't know, but I think if he brings me in, I'm looking to be the assistant head coach / D coordinator, because I have so much extensive – I have such a big resume of a coaching career that I think I should get that job right away.
Oh, so you're like the classic college kids nowadays who come out of college and they just learn from somebody who couldn't accomplish what they're teaching, so that's why they're teaching, and they feel like they deserve to be the president of the fucking company as soon as they get – that's what you're doing right now?
I guess so, yes.
Congrats, dude.
Oh, boys, coach. Go!
Do you want to break any news?
I wish I had any news for you. I know you're
come
on.
Going high. You're alluding to the fact that you had news.
Just say it.
Hey, Urban doesn't even have the job yet, does he?
Oh. Yeah, he does. Okay. He does have the job.
Don't play this game.
What am I going to break? You're sitting there trying to say, oh, what did you say? I saw the clip. Oh, a Buckeye hero might get a job down there.
Yeah.
Okay, the only one that is coached, obviously – it's myself, Bobby Carpenter, and Schlage. You're talking about the cereal box. But yeah, Schlage's actually worked with Urban. He was the strength coach on the staff and everything. I would hire Schlage. If I was a head coach in the NFL, I would want to bring him in. I have no idea what Urban's going to do, but I would do it.
At what position?
I would make him the head strength coach.
So
okay,
let's say you put on your Urban Meyer cap and your Urban Meyer. Yeah. You said if you were Urban Meyer, you would hire Schlage as the head strength coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Of course, yeah.
You think Urban Meyer makes good decisions?
He makes good decisions for sure. I have no idea what he's thinking about with any staff hirings, though.
Oh, okay. Huh. So no breaking news?
No, sorry.
Huh. This thing.
Get it out.
If Schlage doesn't get the job and he's got time on his hands, you think he'd write us up a plan?
Yeah, can he get us in shape? Maybe he becomes our strength and conditioning coach? Is that possible?
He would be amazing at that.
Awesome. Yes. Awesome. Okay. So perfect. Congrats to Schlage. He will have numerous job offers, it sounds like. Joining us now is a 3-time Pro Bowler, a man who just got broken off a little bit ago. He was traded for a 3rd-rounder and a 5th-rounder out of Detroit. Get him the fuck out of here. Okay. He's seems to be good at football. Ladies and gentlemen, corner for the Philadelphia Eagles, Darius Slay.
What's up? What's up?
Hey, thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Hey, not too shabby. Let's dive right into it. I saw something on SportsCenter yesterday where you went to a kid's graduation party. You're like super duper incredible dude. I had no idea until I saw that whole thing. How did that whole thing happen? Are you normally very interactive with the fans? How have you enjoyed Philadelphia? Let's go ahead and keep it moving here.
Yeah, man. You know, kids be in Boston, me and back in Detroit, I used to go to a lot of high school games and stuff like that. And, you know, I just used to tweet out what games I want to go to or what games good to go to. And I just pull up. And a kid had asked me to come to his graduation. And so I had did it, you know, surprised him. I ain't even answered to it. I just had just jumped up there and surprised him.
And you guys, it looked like I haven't been to a graduation party in a while. You guys were playing like beer pong, but with water. How's your game? Did you lose? Did you win? I think you had one cup in front of you. What the hell was going on? Mm.
Man, I'm lost, man, because I don't drink, so I'm not good at them.
All right, let's talk. But by the way, that's awesome that you did that and do that. Great for the community. It's always good to see NFL players kind of get invested in the cities that they're playing for. I assume whenever you found out you were going to be traded, that was a little bit of alarming. Did you know that was potentially going to happen? Did it come out of nowhere whenever you got traded for a 3rd and a 5th?
No. We kind of knew it was going to happen. Matt Patricia made a little, you know, we talked for a while, and, you know, we couldn't get it to where we needed to get it at. So we knew it was going to happen.
So you said you talked to Matt Patricia, who was the head coach of the Lions at the time.
Yeah.
you talk to him directly? You go through agents? Like, how does that work?
We had, you know, we was talking during the season and indirectly. So, you know, we was grown enough to talk to each other. And me, him, and Bob, and, you know, we couldn't come up with something. And so we did what's best for myself.
Okay, so whenever you find out you're going to Philadelphia, were you happy about that, thrilled about that? Obviously, just a few years ago, Super Bowl champs. Whenever you find out you're going to Philly, you were excited, I assume, to get out there?
Of course, you know, of course I was excited. You know, a new start, new beginning. You know, I know a lot of guys that was on the team already. So it's a new, fresh start for me, and I was ready for it.
Well, the thing we enjoyed about it is we learned about you whenever you got traded. And that's no offense to you, okay? Most offense to the Detroit Lions and their fans, okay? Fair. Detroit Lions, you know, not a lot of conversations happening about the Lions over the last 30, 40, 50 years.
Just about.
And the issue is because they made Calvin Johnson pay the money back and Barry Sanders pay the money back. It is a curse, okay, that is a lot deeper than anybody could fathom. So whenever we see you get traded for, you know, for a bag of balls, basically, Philadelphia, and then the ratings come out, you know, that he's like, oh, this is like best corner in the league. Yeah. And then contract comes, it's like, it was awesome for us just to bury the Lions fan that we have in here that was happening. But when you go to Philadelphia, was there any big environment change? Were you asked to become a leader in there immediately? Like, what was the transition into the Philadelphia Eagles organization like?
It wasn't much like a difference. You know, I just came in there, played my role as a person. You know, I was new there, so I was trying to fill everybody out. You know, and I was the leader. Well, I was one of the leaders in my DB room. So that's my thing about me is I try to lead the DBs in the right direction. But as a team leader, you know, I was working to that, just trying to figure everybody out. Carson, Fletcher, Kels, you know, all them guys, Ertz, them guys are doing a great job at what they was already doing. You know, so I just try to fill in and try to help out.
Darius, whenever you know, see what's happening to a team that you're on. I was on a team that went 2-14, and we went 0-13. We won two out of the last three. We kind of almost lost Andrew Luck while winning those games, but it was an interesting time because you start hearing people like talk off in the locker room about what's going on. Coaches start thinking they're going to get fired, so they start turning whenever things start going bad. Whenever the world seemed to think that the Eagles organization was burning from within this year, what was it like in there? Were you guys trying to keep the noise out? Because the amount of noise about the team that you were a part of was deafening outside of it. I mean, it was very, right, very loud. What was it like in there? Did you guys try to avoid the noise, or did it creep in? You guys had to address the whole thing.
I mean, we try to avoid it. You know, like I said, we had great guys on the team that were great leaders. That's, you know, just kept focused on football. We was all worried about the week. So we had other thing that just 1 week at a time and focus on the game. You know, we know this is a business. You know, it can happen in this business. Anything can possibly happen. So we're just trying to look forward and win games. You know, that's the most important thing is about winning games. So we felt as if we win games, the noise would stop. So that was our goal.
Darius, what was your coordinator Jim Schwartz there in Philly, and I assume you were there in Detroit with him as well. Your previous relationship with him. He seems like one of those like genius maniacs on the defensive side of the ball. Is that like what's he like?
Oh man, he's awesome, man. He's a great guy, man. It's great energy, and he holds you to a high standard, man. That's what I love about him. And he gonna keep you there, you know, no matter what type of player you is, how many Pro Bowls you got, where you been, where you come from, how much money you got. He hold you to a high standard, and he expect you to do your job at a high level. And I appreciate him the most, you know, because he drafted me and showed me the game and taught me to be a pro early.
Were you there when he almost fought? Who did he almost fight?
Harbaugh.
Were you there when he almost
fought? Harbaugh.
Were you there for that?
No, that was the year right before me.
Oh, man, that was electric.
Yes, I wouldn't see it.
Yeah, that was awesome. Anytime you have a little coach's beef, it always, the boys buzz in the locker room. But it's like, hey, our guy's about to go for this thing. I hear a dog. What type of dog do you have?
I got cane corsos and blue pit.
Those are those are massive dogs, right?
Oh, yeah, they big. But mine's still a pup right now, so I'm worried to see how big he get.
What are the names? We got any cool names over there?
Yeah, I got a Deuce and Kobe.
Ooh, pretty good dog names there. What do you got, Diggs?
Darius, how much did it help you early in your career that you come in and you immediately are going up against Calvin Johnson every day in practice?
It was good, man. My rookie year, I ain't knock a ball down from him. he was destroying me every day. So he made my confidence more higher than what it was already. So just because of the fact that it was hard to already stop him, but getting caught on every day in practice was pretty bad.
He just bombed on you. At least you, every single day you lined up against him, though. That's something. That's a big deal because not everybody does that. I would assume that that only made you better through the whole process. And also, corners, how do you – okay, yeah. So when you do get bombed on, everybody talks about you got to have short memory. How? Right. How do you guys just forget about that and just go back out there? You have to have that confidence. The confidence is the way you carry through the whole thing?
You got to have the confidence, man. Some people built in it. But I was built for it, but it's just rough out there. You go have one of them days, man, trying to figure out somebody where they're trying to go at and trying to stop them. And you got to guess for most of the part of the time, plays like that going to happen. But you got to keep fighting and keep playing.
Sorry about the nameless gray face. That's
jeez,
blurry face that is on the side of the screen over there. His internet is absolutely despicable. It is maybe the most disgusting internet of all time. That's
a joke.
That guy over there, that's AJ Hawk, by the way. If Darius, if a guy like me or AJ gets a catch on you, is that when you retire, you think? Is that retirement time?
Oh, no, I ain't going to get no catch on me. I'm
not coming out. Coach Doug Peterson was fired. All right. Mm-hmm. The whole world knew that. Were you guys sent an email? Were you guys, did anybody, how did you find out about it? Was it just through social, like everything else basically is? And has there been any further conversation? Because you're one of their staples. Have you heard anything from the organization since the firing? Separation. Parting of ways. I'm so sorry. The parting of ways. So sorry about that.
Yeah, they sent out a letter, I was surprised, but definitely out the guy that had all the, won him a first Super Bowl. So a lot of guys are surprised, but I thought at least had a year left. But how the business is, I don't know how it happened nor what happened. Maybe some type of agreements or something they wanted to do different. I don't know. But all right, best of luck to him, wherever he end up at. I know he's going to be a good coach wherever he goes at. And I'm looking forward to see what he become.
I think that's such an interesting thing because a lot of people think if you're on the team, you know a lot more. And then
you don't know nothing.
I think it was my rookie year where I was at practice and then I came home and then I opened Twitter and I learned something about my teammate that happened at the same practice that I was at from Adam Schefter. I'm like, how did I not know that? I was literally standing there and this sumbitch does. And it's like, I think you were talking about the Troy Aikman conversation this morning about Troy Aikman said on Michael Irvin's podcast that he talked to Doug Peterson because they're friends and everything like that. And he said there was a difference of an idea between Jalen Hurts and Carson Wentz on who should be the franchise's quarterback. And I am not ever going to put a player in a position to have to answer a question that will potentially jeopardize any conversation you could have in the locker room going forward. So I would not do that to you. But the question I do have is, did you guys realize what was going on in the locker room while it was happening? When Jalen gets put in for the first time as a starter, Carson gets down. And how did you guys keep that not awkward? Or did the defense just say, hey, we got to take – because defense, offense, two different teams within an organization. Right. Did you guys just kind of – were you guys on your own side, or did you guys get involved? How did that whole thing unfold behind closed doors?
Really, man, we focus on the defensive part because, we just try to get the ball back for the offense so the offense can put up more points. And, we, as a defense, I don't think we knew that even Jalen was going to start until he brought it out into the media. So we were just like, hey, whoever ups, we up. And we just trying to do our best to help the team win. So it wasn't like a whole team meeting of who going to be starting or not. So it was just more like, hey, whoever's out there, you go try to get them the best foot for and try to get them the ball most we can.
I guess because go ahead, AJ.
I'm just wondering about the current playoff picture and what's going on. Are you going to be watching? And do you think there's going to be any upsets? How do you think a team like the Browns is going to do?
I think they're going to do good, man. Guys like them guys, them two running backs they got, man, they running the ball. And when you can run the ball and control the clock, it's tough. But a team like Kansas City, though, that could put up 30 points in 10 minutes. So you ain't going to have too much time to run the ball. So I feel like if Cleveland defense do slow that guy down a little bit, they'll be good.
Being in the NFC, there's a lot of great wide receivers. right? And Devontae's name just kind of got brought into the conversation this year for whatever reason as being one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. What makes one of those elite guys? Is it just ball skill? What makes it whenever you're going against a guy like that, do you know, like, okay, this is potentially going to be a long fucking day here?
Oh, yeah, man. With anything with like me, I've been playing against Devontae for a long time, 7 years. So, like I said, right now he for sure is the best receiver in the league. And, you know, with Aaron throwing him the ball, you know, it's making him even tougher. So
what is it, though? What does he do? What does he do that's different than
– I mean, he could just do it all, man. He could do it all. He could really – you know, he's not one of the fastest guys, you know, but as on film, he looked fast, you know. So good release guy, man. Like I said, he's one of the best releasers in the league. So we got him, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper are like the best three I've seen release off the ball. But nobody does it better than Devontae. And Devontae a dog, man. He got a dog mentality. Big boy, you know, taking contact, light contact. So, man, I'm dang sure looking forward to him and Jalen Ramsey going against each other this week.
You talk shit?
No, man. I'm a humble guy, man. You know, I appreciate everybody's work, you know. So, but don't talk to me and I won't talk to you.
I ain't a killer, but
don't push me.
Do you got something to do?
No, I was going to ask about Jalen and Devontae.
Yeah, it's just a very interesting – it's a Jalen and Devontae. Oh,
Ramsey.
Oh, Jalen Ramsey. Yeah, got it. Okay, I thought you were talking Hurts. I'm like, a lot of Jalen's on. So
we got it. Darius, who's a QB that you just don't like going against? Who gives you trouble?
I mean, Aaron. That's one who gives me a lot of trouble, man. Like I said, I've been seeing him since I've been in the league. And, man, he's just a smart dude, man. Like I said, he's the MVP of the league this year for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We agree. And, man, like I said, man, he made throws that I don't know. It's hard to even explain. So, like I said, he's one of the toughest guys I went against. And he's steady, consistent, and smart, read coverage as well, and very cocky.
Is there a confident, he'll say. And we'll say, I think, very confident man. But, oh, yeah. I mean, he is so calm out there, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They zoom in on he undoes that fucking thing, straps it up there, has a quick little conversation, a smile, and then he walks back into the hut. I mean, he's just on a different planet out there.
Yeah, man. One time we was playing him this year, man. He just walked up at us casually and just picked up a piece of grass and just like, threw it in the wind. We're like, what is he doing? You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, it's just that he does stuff like that. You'd be like, man, this dude is so good, man. It's crazy.
We appreciate you so much for joining us, man. Have an incredible offseason. Hope you enjoy Deuce and Kobe a little bit. Hope that puppy grows up to be, you know, 10-foot dog. You know what I mean? That'll be good news for you. Where do you spend the offseason?
Man, I'm in New Jersey right now. I'm waiting on my house to be finished. So, until that's done, I'm going to be right here in Jersey.
Oh, wait, you're building a house. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, right.
Woo! Appreciate it.
Are you an architect? Did you design that thing?
Oh, no. I ain't doing all that now. I got somebody to do the job.
Florida? Where at?
Not in Houston, Texas.
Oh, hey, there's a lot going on. Are you a Rockets fan?
Not now.
Going to the Nets? Or are you going to
I'm going to the Knicks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Darius Slay. Yeah! He was awesome. He was really awesome. We didn't get to the accountant question.
Oh, shit.
Which will be disappointing for some people, mm-hmm. but yeah. I enjoyed that convo. AJ, did you know anything about him? I didn't know much about him before the trade happened, and then you kind of learned thus, just strictly because we make fun of Foxy for the trade happening. Mm-hmm. He's a player, huh?
Oh, yeah, he can play. And, yeah, he didn't really get the recognition he deserved until he got traded, I feel like. When people are like, wait, what are the – people recognize it strictly so they could kill the Lions. Like, what are you doing? Why would you get rid of this guy?
Yeah, it's about to happen to Stafford, too. The exact same situation.
You think Stafford's out of town? They just hired a GM.
I don't think he's out of town, but if he does go out of town, everyone's going to be like, and sees him in a new uniform and he's good, they're going to be like, wow, this guy's awesome.
Hey, let's do some assuming real quick. Lions just hired a director of college scouting from the Rams to their general manager position. Do I know the guy's name? Absolutely not. Neither do you. Doesn't matter until we see how his team does. But when you think about the Rams, you don't think like, college scouting is their thing, because I guess they drafted Aaron Donald and got the boys in there. Yeah. I guess it could get going there. But if you're a director of college scouting, you would think they potentially want to maybe a younger squad, maybe build through the draft. Right. And are you going to ship Stafford out of town? You think they ship Stafford out of town? I hope they do. Bring him to Indy. Somebody did some edits of him in a Colts uniform. He looks good in a Colts uniform. I hope that happens. Would you if you were up there?
Absolutely. If I was any team that is, you know, fighting to get into the playoffs every year, or like, can you imagine Stafford on a good team
with a solid
defense and weapons around him?
The Colts, dude. If he comes to the Colts, it would be awesome. Got to get him some weapons, I guess. But if you get Matt Stafford, I assume you could sign weapons easier as well. Phil Rivers, Chris Ballard, the general manager for the Colts, had his press conference today. He went for a while. And Chris Ballard, by the way, he is one of the most transparent GMs, I think, that we've ever seen maybe in the league. He will talk. Like, he'll sit up there. He's not scared of any question. He's very confident in all the decisions he made and will make in the future. I don't think he lies much. He talked about Phil Rivers. He was asked about Phil Rivers, and he said, you know, Phil will go back and think about it for some time. We'll think about it for some time. Kind of gave himself a little both an out if he needed it in the future without, like, hammering home, like, oh, I love Phil. He's coming back or whatever. It just seems like there's a chance there's a new quarterback coming in. Then he was asked if he'll draft a quarterback, and his actual answer was, if I draft one, it'll get you guys off of my ass, okay? But if it doesn't work out, I'll be the first one out the door. Yeah. So I think the Colts quarterback position is one that will be a storyline this offseason. And if they do get Matty Stafford, I will be fired up about it. I don't think Carson Wentz is on the trading block anymore. If what Troy Aikman said on the Michael Irving podcast is accurate, and that Jeff Lurie wanted Carson Wentz to be the guy, Doug Peterson wanted to go to Jalen strictly because of the contract. So Jesus, there's a lot of shit going on. I had just a tough pill to swallow. All that stuff.
Well, so if that, okay, let's say that Carson is the guy, whoever they bring in to be the next head coach has to be on board with Carson being the guy. And whoever you bring in to interview, that's going to be one of your first questions. Like, how are you, hey, like Carson, you would think the owner is in there saying, hey, Carson's our guy. Are you going to be able to win with him?
Yeah, and a lot of people have told us that they would go in there with two ideas, basically. Do you want to keep Carson? Here's how I would do it. If you don't, this is how I would do it. I guess that's kind of how it goes. But it's very interesting because now that Jalen Hurts is there, what are you going to do? You got to trade Jalen then? Because Jalen probably is worth something right now.
Yeah.
And if you trade him, that gets rid of the Carson Wentz mental potential hurdle that he couldn't get over this year. It's very interesting watching all this shit play out. What's up, Diggs?
Does that make that job unattractive because you're already coming in and already being told which quarterback you have to start?
Interesting you say that, because I think the narrative around Doug Peterson's hiring with the Eagles was when he was hired, he was young and they could tell him what to do. And then it got to the point now where he's like, kind of not about it. So it's like, do you want a head coaching job to have a head coaching job and lead your group, but you're not going to be able to make every decision that other head coaches can make just because you're young? Maybe this is a first opportunity to get a head coaching gig. That's kind of, I would assume, who you look like. They interviewed Joe Brady, didn't they? I think they interviewed Joe Brady.
They've entered.
I don't know.
I think they did.
Kellen Moore.
They did request Kellen Moore, but they also, I think Joe Brady has interviewed with everybody at this point. I believe was the tweet that I read. The young offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. I'll be intrigued. Eric Bieniemy, he's potentially not going to get hired, and a lot of offensive minded owners, I would assume he's going to. Who's the Kafka?
Yeah, Mike Kafka.
Hold on, we have the graphic. Don't we have the graphic for who's potentially going to be the Philadelphia Eagles head coach? Because that is a situation you're walking into where, holy shit, we got to settle a lot of problems here. Okay, there's deep issue, just like the Houston Texans. We don't have the FanDuel graphic. I thought we had it. Gumpy will get it. The odds are on. The odds on favorite. Is Bob Salah. Mm-hmm. He's at like plus 300, plus 240 or something like that. Kafka, who's the director of passing offense or something like that, or coordinator of passing offense for the Chiefs, he's on there at pretty good odds. If he gets hired over Bieniemy, that'll be interesting to see how that whole thing plays out. There's some other, Byron Leftwich is on the list. There's a couple other. They allegedly want to make a splash hire. Who knows how that goes? Would you want that gig over Houston's?
Man, either one is tough when you think about it. Yeah. I guess you'd have to interview both and see like what their plan is. Like, are they going to jam Carson in and say, hey, Carson's our guy no matter what. You got to make it work. And same thing. And if I'm in Houston, I'm like, well, what's the roster look like next year? Who's my quarterback when you're interviewing for that gig?
Well, and also, Deshaun was at a Rockets game, James Harden's last Rockets game against the LA Lakers, sitting courtside alongside a man that I didn't know who it was, but then we saw pictures in suites or something like that. He was with Andre Johnson, and that was after Andre Johnson put out the tweet or before? After? That was after he put out the tweet? Yeah. So I wonder if Andre Johnson, I wonder how that whole thing works out. But that's only a situation that's only getting uglier. And if you're the coach, you have to deal with that, by the way. Like, that is, the coach directly has to deal with that, okay? If the player hates the GM, now granted, or not GM, the owner, the GM has to deal with that, obviously, whatever. But the coach has to deal with that on a day-to-day basis with players that are getting brought in and cut and everything like that. You have to deal with that, especially if it's the quarterback. It's hard to mend fractured relationships like that, especially if it's gotten that deep with that much support and that loud. But either job is going to be very difficult. Do we have the graphic? Here's the graphic here for the Eagles next head coach. Bob Salah's at +200. Way to go, Bob.
Hello, Bob.
He went to the Jets a couple times as well. The Lions, no way they land him, even though he grew up in Detroit. Will he be a good head coach? Everybody says yes. Calm, cool during the week. Game days, flips the switch. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and have a good time out here. Deuce Staley, running back coach, I do believe, for the Eagles currently, +700. Brandon Staley, don't know who that is. Jim Caldwell, legend. He's in there. But Mike Kafka at +450, ooh, the second favorite to win the Eagles or earn the Eagles head coaching gig, followed by Kellen Moore, Brian Daboll, Eric Bieniemy. Very, very interesting there. Lincoln Riley's on the list. These are all odds, so they've done the research on who they think is potentially going to get hired. How about this one? Nick Saban +5,000. Anthony Lynn getting another head coaching gig. Pat Hamilton, the D.C. Defenders head coach.
Yep.
He's potentially getting a gig.
Graham Harrell.
Graham Harrell, your guy, AJ. Which one? Who? This is a very interesting pool, because who wants to take that job knowing that allegedly they're not going to have a lot of power and a lot of the decisions being made, but you are a head coach in the NFL. Who do you think here, AJ?
Well, if you're not going to have the power that you would want if you want to be a head coach, I would think like Mike Kafka or Kellen Moore, like a young guy that you can kind of craft him in and give him his role and he's going to go. But a guy like old Bob Salah, do you think he's going to sit back and let somebody else make all the decisions for him?
Well, and Bob has a lot of opportunities right now, right?
Yeah.
So him being the favorite, I guess that's just because he's the next coach up, everybody thinks. But if you're Bob, why are you picking that gig over? Joe Douglas is literally in New York telling you everything that's wrong with the Eagles organization, recruiting him to go coach up there. And it's all kind of playing out publicly. I don't know if they'll be able to get old Bob. I don't know if they'll be able to get Bob.
I'm sure that's something they're worrying about too. Like they're thinking, all right, hey, the top prospects that we want, they may not want to come here once if we extend an offer to this guy.
That's exactly like that's like the recruiting stories, you know, because Joe Douglas knows every single flaw of the Eagles organization.
Yeah,
he literally like
the ins and outs.
Let me tell you what I fucking left out. Okay, Howie Roseman's running GM. Do you want to go head coach, John? Listen, even if you don't pick us, I'm just telling you, that is not the place you want
to
go.
Not Philly.
Okay, that's a very tall task that the Eagles organization is up against, because every person that interviews with the Jets, if Douglas wants that person, I would assume if it's down to the Eagles or the Jets, Douglas is going to have some things. But now, granted, maybe the Eagles do too, even though it seems like all of the stories coming out are the opposite direction. That's going to be tough for them to get a hire. Urban Meyer's down in Jacksonville too. You're not going to bring him out of there. Jim Caldwell deserves a gig. Yeah. I hope he gets it.
Wouldn't Daboll make sense with what he's done with Josh Allen? Like, if there was a guy who could maybe fix Carson Wentz, he might be the guy who could do it.
But if you're Daboll, here's another thing. If you have another successful year at Buffalo, you're going to get more head coaching offers.
True.
Do you want to go to a place where you can't do it? I think that is something where, like Kellen Moore, for instance, like he might love that opportunity, right? Like, here we go.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I'm a head coach. Nobody expected me to get this. I've done good with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Dak had his best year whenever I was calling plays or whatever. Here we go. Let me run this thing. And then I don't have to worry about all the other bullshit either yet, even if I don't want to, because you're kind of young and coaching and that whole thing. Maybe that's the thought. You're 100% right. Probably somebody young. I didn't even know Kafka existed until today.
Northwestern, great.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when he was at Northwestern playing quarterback, yeah.
Was that your age, my age?
I think he's a couple years younger than me.
2010 draft.
Well, he's around your age. He would have been at Northwestern while you were at West Virginia.
Northwestern sent me a letter to recruit me.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
You got up there?
Well, they checked the grades.
Oh.
I didn't get a single letter.
Oh, shit.
They're lost.
Me and Greenberg, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could have been repping for the Wildcats. Go Cats.
I didn't know Greeny was a Northwestern guy.
Oh, purple all day,
what, dude?
You didn't know that?
No.
Broke them out of the
makes
huddle.
Sense that a lot of the big time broadcasters did go to Northwestern.
No, most Syracuse. But the thing about the thing about Greeny with Northwestern is he's been like an honorary captain for them.
Oh yeah,
I think he's taken him out of the tunnel. He's let him out of the tunnel. He ran, sprinted held out, and held the board. Thing while they were just everyone's, beating the shit out of him.
Almost broke his arm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know that. You know that.
I do now. Yes. Thank you for enlightening me.
How'd you not know before that though? That was pretty
you
big.
You definitely
big
knew.
You knew.
I usually don't. I don't know like. Some of my favorite broadcasters, I don't know which college most of them went to, but I would always guess Syracuse or Northwestern.
Safe guess.
Did you ever guess for Greeny?
Nope. I'd have no reason to ever guess a college of any broadcaster.
Well, you literally said some of your favorite broadcasters.
Unprompted. If I was unprompted, I would never just be like, hey, man, where in the world did Gary Danielson go to college? Like, that's never crossed my mind.
You're putting Gary Danielson and Mike Greenberg in the same level?
Whoa. What's your deal this week, dude?
Mike Greenberg, two Hall of Fames, bro. This is two Hall of Fames.
Do you know who Gary Danielson is?
Couldn't even guess.
Nope. I don't even know
if that's a person.
He's probably in a few Hall of Fames, dude.
Gary Danielson?
Mm-hmm.
See the guy that did Happy Gilmore?
Vern Lundquist.
That guy's a legend.
Yeah.
That guy's awesome. I don't know Gary Danielson. Is he the color commentator?
If you heard his voice, you would.
Wait, but no clue.
Yeah. Well, shout out to him. Greeny, in my eyes, I don't know. I didn't know the guy existed. No.
Gary went to Purdue, by the way.
Okay. Good to know.
So you would have been wrong with your assumptions.
You're right. I would have been wrong.
Do you have any breaking news yet now that we're 33 minutes into this hour? Have you gotten any text messages? Is that why your internet crashes? Because you're getting so much information? What do we have any breaking news?
Yeah, that's what I like to do. I like to really stay in the mix, and I send out like 500 cold texts every day trying to get some info so I can come on here and tell you something.
We never said that. We just said in this particular situation, maybe old breaking news came jogging down your incredibly long driveway over there and just showed up in your lobby of your house. Just showed up, and it just came in. We're not saying that you reached out. We're saying people know you. They reach out to you. Do you have any breaking news that just showed up in your phone or your life?
I did not. No. Do you think that Urban Meyer started sprinting down the street and ran up to my front door and told me, hey, good news, just signed the deal.
You guys are doing shows on Wednesdays at his bar. Yeah. I just assumed that
boots
was potential.
On the ground, AJ.
That's what we're talking about. What is the purpose here?
You were on his boat.
You're on his boat.
Oh, yeah.
I was.
What kind of plane was he on, AJ?
It was a Citation. I thought it was a Citation.
Have they been tracking him? Have they been doing the whole plane thing or whatever?
Yeah, he already landed. Somebody within the airport took a photo. Kind of creepy, but it is out there. Got him. It was not.
They're calling it a Learjet.
A Lear.
Couldn't tell you what that is.
That's a good one, too.
It flies.
Yeah.
Ursa would probably send a G.
Seven?
Five?
G5, yeah. I think it's nice.
He has three of them.
Oh, yeah.
So that's probably what you would got if you came to Indianapolis Urban. But, you're within a division. Sorry. So that's good. Sports show. Big sports show. Couple things to cover very quickly. I've learned that Mitt has been getting bullied by our callers, basically.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah, Mitt said that he's been lied to a couple times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and because I asked him out there around the water pipe out there, the CBD thing. I said, what the hell's going on back here, pal? How? Because the P is nowhere near the S on the keyboard. So I didn't even know how we got spam out of Sam. And he said, that guy lied. And I said, you think people are just kind of bullying you right now? And he said, yeah. So I do have to take that into account that maybe Mitt is getting outwitted and bullied by our callers. And I want to let you know, Mitt, I'm on your side, pal. I'm on your side, Mitt.
Good luck, Mitt.
He's saying something. Also, AJ, do you have any breaking news?
I do not.
Coach Hall.
Damn you.
No news about the Jacksonville Jaguars at all, about anything going on down there. You and Urban Meyer do shows weekly. He just got hired. Is there any other hires that we should know about?
No, I do not do shows weekly with Urban Meyer, and I have no information.
Yeah, you do.
You have done one in a week.
Anyways, we have breaking news. So just the other day, like 10,000 pages were released of declassified alien information. And I guess the fish that people were fishing for in these documents. And whenever you have a 10,000 page thing, you know, it's kind of hard to get through, I guess. And there's professional readers that this is their job to go through this whole thing. there was allegedly something found in these documents that we should talk about. Go ahead and make that full screen there, Foxy. If you no, just go ahead and take over the full screen with that photo there.
Full screen.
Go ahead and take over that thing. This is a reprint from the newspaper Ternopil Vecherny Cosmic Revenge. First paragraph published in boldface. Text in parentheses inside of other parentheses.
Oh, yeah.
The fuck is that? After Mikhail Gorbachev dissolved in 1991, the KGB, Top Secret Intelligence Administration, a lot of material from that department found their way abroad, in particular to the CIA. As reported by the authoritative magazine Canadian Weekly World News, U.S. intelligence obtained a 250-page file on the attack by a UFO on a military unit in Siberia. The file contains not only many documentary photographs and drawings, but also testimonies by actual participants in the events. One of the CIA representatives referred to this case as a horrific picture of revenge on the part of extraterrestrial creatures, a picture that makes one's blood freeze.
Jeez.
Oh, freeze. Okay. I thought it was free.
Free.
I thought it was really driving
makes
it home.
Blood free.
You got to know that it is very, exactly. This is not easy to read. I was like, according to the KGB materials, a quite low-flying spaceship in the shape of a saucer appeared above a military unit that was the shape of a conducting routine training maneuvers. For unknown it's blurry, dude. Yeah, for unknown reasons, somebody unexpectedly launched a surface-to-air missile and hit the UFO. It fell to Earth not far away, and five short humanoids with large heads and large black eyes emerged from it.
Let's go.
It is stated in testimonies by the two soldiers who remained alive that after freeing themselves from the debris, the aliens came close together and then merged into a single object that acquired a spherical shape. That object began to buzz and hiss sharply and then became brilliant white. In a few seconds, the spheres grew much bigger and exploded by flaring up with an extremely bright light. At that very instant, 23 soldiers who had watched the phenomenon turned into stone poles.
Whoa.
This is fake.
No way. I don't know.
How are we just now hearing about this? Motherfuckers are turning into stone poles?
Yeah, that's my question.
Get me out. Get it out.
You should keep going. It gets more absurd. Yeah,
the aliens left survivors to tell this.
So you saw the stone poles and you didn't become a stone pole. Exactly. So they have a radius on them. What are they, like a regional show? They only have a certain bandwidth. There's people outside the bandwidth of three humans becoming one, shooting up, and only certain stone poles happen?
It's bullshit.
Guys, have we learned nothing? Check your sources. We learned nothing from Jerry Dulac. This is from Russian propaganda filtered through the CIA, funneled through Canadian news.
I did find it very interesting that we were able to shoot their shit down. You know what I mean?
With like one missile.
Something that could just shoot them.
Well, they might have had their shields up on the UFO.
Yeah, but I would just assume that they always have the shields
up. If you're flying through Russian airspace, you're going to have your shields up.
Bro, this is the first time.
They allegedly hopped. Three of them just went, just walked into each other. They have their shields up at all fucking times.
True.
Yeah. We got dolphins swimming around ships out at sea to protect. You don't think that the aliens in their UFO always have just something around it?
Well, when you're flying around Earth and you're never getting shot down until now, what it seems like, it's probably not worried.
You can't trust the KGB.
And they got turned to limestone. That's like the worst stone.
Limestone?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good. Marble, though, is one you'd wish for,
I guess. Better one, yeah.
Hey, is there a follow-up to this, though? Like, I cannot imagine we shot down an alien spacecraft. There's five humanoids walk out. We take them to a secret facility, and then that's it? They don't come back?
No, they left. Yeah.
They did not get taken.
They
repaired the craft and got out of there after they killed everyone.
They hopped into a three-person starship that they created themselves. Uh-huh. And just dipped out.
Fixing jet.
Let's get back to sports. It's bullshit. Those dudes, imagine them covering a kick, though.
Bro. Oh, man.
Three of them, fucking shooting. See everybody turns to stone. Fucking dead. Everybody. Let's get them on special teams. Yeah. What's up, Diggs?
If we are getting back to sports, breaking news, John Wolford is out for the Packers game.
Yeah, COVID?
No.
Oh, because the neck.
Broke his neck.
Okay, John Wolford, T's and P's to your recovery for the shot that you took on your head, which led to what we think is a neck injury, which led to a photo of you getting into an ambulance that was one of the most scary things I saw on the internet over the weekend. Happy to hear he's okay. He's out. That means it's golf time. Now, you would think that it would be golf time because it's a divisional round playoff game and he's your quarterback that you paid $100 million to, but instead that was still a question for a little bit for whatever reason. Goff versus Rodgers in Lambeau officially now that Wolford's been ruled out. T's and P's to the neck, pal. We enjoyed watching you play the football.
Blake Bortles officially the backup for that game.
Blake Bortles, Aaron Rodgers might happen this weekend in Lambeau. Let's keep our eyes peeled. What were you going to say, AJ?
I was just going to ask about Bortles. So, yeah, now Bortles is in play. Like, he easily could be in a duel with Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs.
What's Blake Bortles been up to? I suppose he's going to get out there and ball out, by the way. Let's not forget, Blake Bortles took that Jacksonville Jaguars team.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. The same ones that just had or hired Urban Meyer, have the number one overall pick, everything like that. Mm-hmm. He took that team just a few years ago, AFC Championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't take a damn knee before half and they let Blake cook, they probably win that AFC Championship game, represent in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that has been some time. That has been some time, and those are very different teams all of a sudden. But Blake Bortles will go out there and cook some shit. Don't get it twisted about Blake Bortles. I watched him score a touchdown against us in London, then punt the ball into the stands. Very good punt. Bombed that thing. No penalty. No penalty at all. A lot of questions were asked to the ref. Called a fucking false start on me for a hard count on an extra point. Vinny had to kick a fucking damn near 40-yard extra point in London. Was not thrilled about that. But it was Walt Anderson bullshit call. Mm-hmm. Blake Bortles can ball, AJ. Can he?
Yeah, Blake can put it on. There's something about it. Like, guys that get thrown in there with nothing to lose, I feel like.
Yeah, it could go the other way, too.
Yeah.
Right? Hadn't played in a while.
I'm going to bet on that one.
He's also got acclimated to the cold weather being in Denver and the snow and whatnot. That does worry me a little bit.
Oh, that Blake's been there, done that. Yeah. Mile high, actually. He's been fucking snowboarding while playing football.
Yeah.
Blake's awesome. Anytime Blake's in the NFL, it's good for everybody.
Boats don't sail in Green Bay.
That's funny.
All right.
The thought of... Man, they're going to win by 50. I got to stop saying it. I got to stop
really
saying it because Ty is not happy about it.
Oh,
how
no
does
curses.
Green Bay not win this by 100?
Oh, no.
What happened?
The only way
Foxy just. Hey.
There's no such thing as curses, Foxy said.
Well, there isn't. It's all there joke.
I think the only thing that could really make Packer fans worry is if they fall behind early. Like, we know if the Packers jump out, let's say they look like they do a lot this year, and Aaron just systematically moves down the field, boom, 7-0. Defense gets a stop. They go up 10 or 14-0 early in the second quarter. That's when you got to worry because I don't know if the Rams are built to come from behind like that.
I agree.
We don't know what that Rams team looks like with Blake Bortles.
That's true.
No. We might do be running not a read know option. What that looks like. Let's get to the phone, shall we? Hey, you're making all your picks tomorrow, right? All of them, yeah.
Sure.
Let's go.
Are you comfortable and confident in the picks that you're going to make?
Absolutely.
How do you feel about our guy Lombo Bombo this morning? Fucking Lombardi breaking the news about Urban Meyer.
Yeah, how did he become the guy to break it?
I don't know.
He's got people.
He does. He knows everybody. You're right. I saw Schefter tweeted shortly afterwards and kind of had his version of this.
Well, it wasn't just – I mean, every insider had a quick follow-up about – because I would assume every insider knew that something was probably about to happen, but they were being told that it hasn't officially happened yet, so they're waiting on it. They're waiting on it. But they probably didn't know that the rest of the world didn't know that that was definitely happening, you know? So I think old Lombo got the bombo and said, hey, here we go. This is what I'm being told if you guys want to know.
He dipped
his toes into the breaking news pond this morning.
Crushed it.
And there's a couple places that have given him credit. There's some that have not. Huh. But it feels like every piece of information everybody has at some point.
Well, yeah, the fact that Lombardi said there's a press conference later today, have we seen anything? Have the Jacksonville said anything about scheduling any kind of media availability?
That's a great question. Maybe Lombo maybe this is a Diggs-like thing.
That is what Schefter later said, is that no press conference today as of yet.
He got the most important
part. But Urban Meyer did land in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
he did. Came off a Learjet, we learned, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You got the most important part correct. That's all that matters.
Just like you, Tony.
Just like you.
Can't be caught up in all the minutiae surrounding it. You got to let the sun shine through.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen, COVID cowboy.
Well said.
New t-shirt.
Hey, pink sky at night.
Sailor's delight.
Pink sky in the morning.
That's the sailor's warning, Pat.
Go to Heath in Iowa. Thank you, cowboy.
How's it going? And I'd like to congratulate AJ on a potential new job in Jacksonville.
Hey, AJ, congrats. Game breaking news, dude.
Thank you. If I get offered, I will accept. I'll let you know right now.
Whoa.
Breaking news.
All right. Huge.
But I'd like to know the potential landing spots for J.J. Watt. What do you think, him going to the Packers and giving that hometown discount?
That would be interesting, him going to the Packers. They love him up in Wisconsin, I would assume. Add him to the rotation there, into the, you know, the pressure room, defensive and outside linebackers. Steelers, you know, why not the Steelers? Something? They're losing Bud Dupree. Bud Dupree is going to go to the market. He's going to be elsewhere. A couple watts off the edge. Whoa. You know what I mean? Derek playing fullback special teams. I would assume there's a couple different landing spots. How about, like, the Chargers? I mean, you look at teams that, like, care deeply about their defensive line. Look for them to bring him in to be like a, okay, here we go.
I have a question because Bud just posted on his Instagram that he was in the Steelers facility rehabbing. He's a free agent. How long do you still rehab with the team that you're with before you become a free agent? Is that March 1
or something like that? Is that what it is, AJ? Do you know?
Yeah, probably. It's probably March 1st or March 15th, like whatever the first day of the league year is. Then I guess you're officially a free agent. He's officially still on the team until that day.
Where do you think JJ is going, dude?
Steelers. Why don't you think that would be number one on his list if he enjoys being around his brothers? Yeah, go play for the Steelers, a team that can win. And you get to play with both your brothers. Like, how often does that happen?
Yeah, it would be pretty cool, I'd assume, for them.
Better take a hell of a haircut.
Yeah.
This COVID cowboy from Pittsburgh. Jesus, dude. I mean, unbelievable. I would assume he would, by the way.
Has Diggs gotten to speak to whatever Weed Boy 420 or whatever that broke the news with him?
Weed Boy 420. That's a better name. I like that name a lot.
Hey, we had a Zoom call last night to congratulate each other. We're sipping cognac.
A sip of cognac. Let's go to Greg in Texas. What's going on, Greg?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Cool. Hook 'em, bro. Hey, that accent is awesome, Greg.
Hey, man. Natural. Just born with it, baby.
Hey, yep. I agree. All right. Can't wait. What do you want to talk about?
Man, I want to talk about, I was pissed off in the offseason when the Cowboys didn't go ahead and give the nod to old Kellen Moore to be the head coach there. And instead, we're stuck with this stooge, McCarthy. And I don't know, it's very uncharacteristic of Jerry Jones, but how long until next season do you think before they fire him and go ahead and make help?
Greg's got no fucking hope in that Cowboys team. Yeah. How many losses we got to go through before they fire this guy? I wonder if that's how all of Dallas feels about your guy, AJ.
I don't know. I mean, I guess they're going to – man, he better come out of the gates hot next year.
Sounds like he
– rolling. Like, they need to come out and go 6-0 to shut people up.
It sounds like that is the case. I mean, you got Dan Quinn over here calling that defense.
Yeah, bring it back.
You know what I mean? Bring him back. Mike McCarthy on the offensive side. Ooh. Dan Quinn on defense side. Let's go. Let's go win this thing in 2015.
Bring in Freddie Kitchens.
2014. Let's go get it, dude.
It's pretty amazing how quickly, like, you can come in. Oh, this is a great hire. You and Jerry get along. You're playing well. Oh, my starting quarterback goes out. Oh, I should be fired after my first season here in the middle of, what, a 5-year deal?
You're saying people are a little quick to judge. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and who knows if it's going to work out or not. None of us know, but I'm like, man, if I'm going to hire a head coach, I guess you've got to give him at least 2 seasons, right? But if it is one thing, though, if an owner or GM decides to move on from a player or a coach early, and they're like, you know what? Hey, my mistake. I messed up. This shouldn't have happened. This person shouldn't be here. Push them. Let's let them go. Like, that's better than trying to hold on to somebody just because it's one of your guys.
And by the way, I mean, you can even win a Super Bowl and be fired early. You know what I mean? Shout out Doug Peterson.
A statue.
Let's go to Craig in Alabama. And a statue. Yeah. Let's go to Craig in Alabama. What's going on, Craig?
What's up, guys? Huge fan of the show. My wife's actually making fun of me because I was excited for getting through. Huge fan. AJ, huge fan. AJ, something to watch out for when you send in your resume to Jacksonville. You could possibly be working for Luke Fickell as the defensive coordinator down there, because I don't see why they wouldn't bring him in with the pass he's got with Ohio State. And also, when are we going to start bringing context back into football conversations? I called Tua being a bust if you look at the context, what was around him in Alabama, it was right there for eyes to see.
Right there for the eyes to see.
I love that guy. I fucking love that guy.
Just make a statement and be like, what's your excuse? It's right there.
I mean, shit, we all fucking saw it.
Oh, that guy. Craig, appreciate you, buddy. Is to a bus. Wow. Can't thank you enough for choosing to listen to the show. The fact that you do is awesome, okay? Not every show is great. Not every show is the best. But we're going to keep plugging them out there, and we hope you continue to rock with us. And if you don't like us, go ahead. Go fuck yourself.
Yep, piss off.
We probably don't like you either. But don't tell anybody about it. You know, let's make a little bit of an agreement here. We'll come together. We don't like each other. We'll go separate ways. But we won't tell anybody about it. We'll just keep it moving.
Yeah, keep your mouth shut.
You don't, I mean... We will also do the same about you, though.
Right, for sure.
This is a good deal. If you like the show, though, be a friend, tell a friend. Okay, go ahead and get out there and tell a friend.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll be back manana with a feel-good Friday. You're going to love it. Big show. Ty, please play some independent music and propel these people into a gorgeous Thursday night.